Blog Talk Radio. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other found I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, there is power, power. Oh, wonder-working power, in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power, in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power. He shed for me. Where?
But when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood. This securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with the ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats with the water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, Under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin, and the word of the Lord is blessed. I read to you Hebrews 9:11 through the 22nd verse. I praise God this morning for another Friday morning. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Ken from Total Restoration Church, and you know how we say it when I come on. We're going to say it again this morning, and we say, well, glory. Yes. Yes, we come to give God glory this morning. I am so honored to be a vessel this morning to minister the word of God to you this morning. I pray that those of you that called in, that tuned in to Blog Talk Radio for To Be Restored Ministry, I pray that as we end the broadcast, that the Lord will say something to enlighten you, to change your very life. This ministry is spearheaded by my wife, my beautiful wife of 30 years, Pastor Marlene Carr, and we are so grateful that the Lord has allowed her to be obedient to the things of God, and because of that, we are here together, and we are here together ready to receive from the Lord. So I want to say good morning to all of the soldiers that are standing and that are fighting in the army of the Lord. Don't worry about what you're going through. Don't worry about what you're facing right now. I want you to know that if you don't stop, you've already won the battle. It's already won. And we want to just give honor, and we want to give God praise for his son Jesus, who shed his blood for the remission of our sins. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood, as the songwriter was singing. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for that medley of blood songs. You know, sometimes we have to go back to the old-time way, how we used to sing those blood songs. I'm pretty sure that in your churches we still sing it today. But it's something about the blood. It's something about the blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I am so grateful that the blood of Jesus Christ, it is powerful. I'm grateful that the blood is the answer to our situations today. And as you know, our society, we are facing so many things, so many heavy tests and trials we are going through in this day and time, and so many things that our society has been embracing. But I am grateful to the Lord for those of you that are standing in righteousness, those of you that decide, I want to be a holy vessel for the kingdom of God. I want to tell you to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be encouraged, my sister and my brother. Help is on the way. We serve a great deliverer. We serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We serve the one that gives life, and we serve the one that can also give death. I want to thank God for the power of Jesus Christ. And so we have been ministering and talking about the families and praying for our loved ones, praying for those that we've been ministering to for a very long time. And I believe that God is moving for some of you right now. I believe that you, the one that you put on the altar and the one that you've been praying for all of this time, I believe that God is going to do it for you and your family. I want to go into the broadcast, but before I do, I want you all to remember that we are on a 30-day run of prayer, and we are down to 24 days left, I believe. We will end the prayer this prayer season that we're going through for 30 days. It will end on July the 8th. On that day, I will be in our Total Restoration in Aroma Park, and we will be in prayer. And we believe that God, by the end of 30 days, that God is going to break some major, major yokes. We are in a spiritual warfare. I need the people of God to hear this morning. We are all in a spiritual warfare. Yeah, I get it. Maybe you never realized that. Maybe you thought that this was a natural battle. Maybe you thought things just kept happening because it just happens. But I want to tell you that things don't just happen. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of the darkness, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are wrestling against the enemy. And that enemy started over 2,000 years ago when he wanted to be as the Most High God, and the Lord kicked him out of heaven. There was a battle against Michael and his angels and the dragon, and they got kicked out of heaven. And I want you to know that that battle has been going on ever since then. So don't take it personal. Hallelujah. I want you to stand up, to rise up, and put your armor on, and know that we are in a warfare. Now, remember, the enemy fights 24/7. If you stop fighting for just 2 hours or 3 hours or one day, he can get the upper hand on you. You have to always be on alert. Always be on alert. We are held responsible for the responses we give. And when the enemy comes to knock on our windows or our doors to get in our houses, it is up to us to continue to fill our lives, our heart, our mind with the Word of God so we can have what it takes to fight the enemy off. Amen. You have the victory. I want everybody to repeat after themselves, I have the victory. Repeat after me. After me. I have the victory. I have the victory. Again, 8 o'clock prayer, 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. 8 o'clock Central Time, 9 o'clock Eastern Time. We will be praying for 1 hour every day for the next 24 days. And then again, I also want to encourage you all that are on social media to post a scripture regarding prayer every day. Post a scripture. Let's saturate. It is enough mess and junk on the social media. It is enough personal issues on social media. And social media can be a blessing if we use it right. We want to put some scriptures on there that will shut the devil up. In the name of Jesus, because only the truth is going to stand. Only the Bible is right. The Bible is right and somebody's wrong. Let us post scriptures of prayer on social media, Instagram, Facebook, whatever. What other social media you are on, go ahead. I encourage you to place a scripture on there. Don't put your own comments on there. Don't put what you think and what you got to say. Just go to a scripture and post it. Go to a scripture and post it. I encourage you to do that. Let us be example of what the kingdom of God is all about. Let them fight. Let them argue. Let them talk about who boo they with. Let them talk about all of that stuff. And let them go on. But I want to encourage the people of God to post a scripture regarding prayer. So as we go into our broadcast today, we have a special woman of God who's been a partner of To Be Restored Ministry, who has been a blessing to my wife, and I am so grateful that the Lord has used her to call my wife on last week, I believe it was, regarding a testimony that we needed to hear, like right then and there, with her not knowing what we were going through. Our family has been hit by the enemy, and it's been the enemy. We've been hit by the enemy, and I tell you, we've been praying and we've been fasting and seeking God, and I thank God for the saints of God that walk in the Spirit. I'm grateful for the ones who are not gossipers, who are not liars, who don't believe everything they hear, but I thank God for the ones who walk in the Spirit, and they have the spirit of discernment upon their lives. I'm grateful to have the woman of God, Sister Melissa White. I call her, let me tell you what I call her. I call her Boss Junior. I call her Boss Junior, and we are glad to have her. God bless you, Boss Junior. Are you on this morning?
Good morning.
All right,
I'm
now.
Here.
All right. And we're fired up, right?
Yes. That's right. Well, glory. And we have
Come on here. That's the cue right there. Yes.
Yes.
Well, glory.
Yes.
Tell them again. Tell them
yes.
again.
Well, glory. Get out and say it. Well, glory.
Well, glory. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes.
Are you ready to fight the devil?
I hate him.
Uh-huh. I can't stand him.
Uh-huh.
We are in agreement.
I can't.
We are in agreement. Amen. Before we get started, I wanted to just ask everyone to share this morning. Ask everyone to share I ask everyone to share this broadcast this morning. We are going to talk about something that is so important, that is definitely prevalent in our land today. And I want you all to understand that First Lady and I, we love to use our testimony. Some of you have not heard our testimony, or some of you have heard our testimonies, and we have so many experiences as relates to deliverance and healing, and we have learned that deliverance is real. Salvation is for the sinner, but deliverance is for the saints. Deliverance just simply means it's a process. It's a one of the old mothers would call it. It's a wash rack. It is a process for cleansing of old ways and old habits. I want you all to understand that although we're saved, the enemy has done damage to our lives while we were in the world. But when we come into the kingdom, God wants us to be cleansed and washed and to be different. Amen. And so as we talk about these things today, I want you that if you can understand what we're saying and what we're dealing with, I want you to believe God for your sons, your daughters, your lives. Take these experiences, and I want you to pray for your own and believe that God is going to break through in your situation. So, Sister Melissa, go ahead and share with us this morning.
Amen. Amen. I just thank God for a new day, his brand new mercies, amen. I just thank God for being able to come together, strengthen in God, no matter what it looks like in the natural, because I know that I overcome because he overcame first, amen. And I just thank God for the opportunity to even share. And I tell you, since I met this young lady, Jay, a week ago, it's just been amazing in my life just to see God perform miracles. Just like that, right in front of your eyes instantly. But I'm from Georgia. I'm sure most of you have heard me. I'm grateful to be a part of To Be Restored, because I tell you, even though I gave my heart to Christ in 2001, but when I came on the line of To Be Restored, God was restoring some things that the enemy thought that he had shattered, but God restored. And I came on this line at just the right time. My cousin Mel, she had a family prayer line or whatever, and she told us about this line. And I tell you, I got on it, and I have not looked back. And I feel strengthened when I come together and just listen and even put into practice what I've been taught and what's been prayed and spoken into our lives from this line. Y'all don't take it light. It's a battle that we forever facing. And I tell you, I thank God for the cause and the sacrifice. And I know the devil don't like them. And I know he'll bring things to try to shake their faith, but he should have got them a long time ago. That's what I tell him. You should have got me before 2001, because now it's too late. And no matter what comes my way, I know that my Redeemer lives. He's not dead. He's not in a manger. He's not on the cross, but he's at the right hand and he's fighting for us. And I just thank God. I thank God for strength, and I thank him for victory. But I just wanted to share a young lady I went up into our prayer room at church, and I prayed for an hour. Well, I prayed during the first service, and then I go down and I worship in the second service. So on this Sunday, I just was like, God, I don't even know what to pray for anymore, because sometimes it's like you're praying, but, you know, I don't know, you know. And I just, God, it's like the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit. Just pray for the hopeless. Pray for the hopeless. Pray for those who don't know me. Pray for the whosoever. Don't focus on anything else, but just really believe for them. And so I began to pray in the prayer room, just God, send the hopeless. Don't let them drive by without stopping. Whatever. God, don't, when they walk onto this campus, let them feel your presence. You know, and I'm just praying and praying. And so then at about 10-something, I go downstairs and I walk into the sanctuary, and I begin to talk to some of the people I know and stuff. And God focused my eyes on what the world would call a mess. But I could see that she had walked into that door because somebody was praying for her and didn't even realize that it was my prayer that I had just prayed upstairs. But God is so amazing. And so I was talking to people, and I made my way because I noticed nobody else would talk to this young lady. And so I made my way over there to her because being in a new place, it can be intimidating and overwhelming. And so I introduced myself, and she says, "Hi, my name is Jay." And I was like, "Well, praise God, Jay," you know. And mind you, guys, this girl looked scary. Let me back up a little bit. She came in into the bank that I worked about a year ago. This is how God worked. She came in about a year ago, and I was like, "Oh, my gosh, she really needs Jesus." But I never told her now. But and she left, and then I bumped into in the produce section of Walmart one day, but I still didn't say anything. So God said, "I'm going to set her right here in church and see if you're going to tell her about me and how much I love her." And so when I noticed this girl, I go and I introduce myself, and she's like, "I'm Jay." And I said, "I think you came into the bank one day, right?" And she says, "Yeah." And I was like, "Wow." And I think I seen you in the produce section. And she was like, "Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm always in the produce section." And I was like, "Okay, well, it's so good to see you here." And, y'all, I'm saying all this because this chick has on black nail polish. She's dressed in black from head to toe. She has this big octopus-looking, scary-looking tattoo coming up her neck. Like, nobody else was talking to her. And I was like, "Okay, God, I'm gonna be obedient." And so I go over and I'm just talking to her, and I'm like, "Oh, my gosh." You know, my heart is breaking because I'm like, "God, it's you who sent her here," because I never really seen anybody else come in this church look like this. And she has piercings everywhere, all over her face. Her whole entire ears are pierced. Her mouth inside of there pierced. She had piercings everywhere. I just couldn't even imagine. So Jay and I sat there with her, and I said, "Is there anything I can pray with you about?" And she says, "Yes, I'm lonely." And so I began to just speak scripture and just encourage her about loneliness. And so my seat, you know how we are, I just have to go ahead and be honest, but I went back to my seat over there. And so when I got over there and I'm writing my gift check, I could hear God saying, "Well, she says she's lonely. Why would you leave her?" And I was like, "Oh, okay, well, let me get myself and go on over here." So I got my stuff, and I was like, "Jay, I'm going to sit with you," because, mind you, it's long rows, and nobody's on the road with her, and we have, like, 7 minutes before service starts. So everybody's coming in, but nobody sat on that row. So I get there, and she moves her stuff, and I said, no, you don't have to move your stuff. And so I began to talk to her in those last 7 minutes before the service starts, and she just began to just share a little stuff and a little things that she was going through, and I just began to weep because I said, "Jay, little did I know that God was going to answer my prayer this quick. I was just upstairs praying for the hopeless, praying for the one who, you know, needs to know God, praying for God to send someone here that needs to know who needs to know his love, you come." And it had to be God in you, and you don't even look like you believe in him. And I'm just going to be straight up, because you look like one of those other worshipers. And she is. And she said, "I know that the life I'm living is not right." And she went on to tell me that her dad is a preacher, and that how she was being rebellious. But it was something. And, y'all, that's why we can't stop praying, because Holy Spirit is real. And he will reach the ends of the earth for our children. Yes. He don't care. He'll use anything to get our children back to where they should be. So we can't give up. And I know, I'm sure her dad, her mom is dead, and her dad hasn't spoken with her. And, you know, flesh will cause us to go away from our kids instead of keeping a little contact. But even in that, she taught me, because when y'all read my book, y'all know, I struggle with my oldest daughter. But God is good. And even through baby number four, I'm learning to embrace. And we don't have no husband. Me and my husband, the husband. We the children's daddy. But I'm learning to embrace. And God, even through that, worked to show me, just keep praying, because the seed is being planted for your daughter. And she's going to come in just like Jay did. But I thank God she's not having to fight the spirits that Jay's having to fight. And so getting back to Jay, I during the praise songs, I was like, I don't want to Sarah. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to stand up real easy, and I'm going to clap real easy. But she stood up. It was like she mimicked everything I did. It was kind of, I was like peeping at her like, okay, I clap, she clap. I lifted my hands really high. She kind of just lifted hers like, ooh, I don't know if I'm going to do that. And it was a bilingual service. And so once we got to intermission, we began to talk more and more. And she just had, I could tell there was a hunger that I've heard on this line. I maybe it's been a prayer night, but there's a hunger deep within this girl, and she wants to know something. So the service was, it was bilingual, but we had our interpreter up there, and it was about the Holy Spirit. And I can't remember the exact, but it was a perfect topic for Jay to be there, but it was about the Holy Spirit. And and so the preacher was just preaching, and she was getting freer and freer, y'all. She started peeling her nail polish off. And I almost asked her not to, don't worry about it. But I said, no, God, go ahead and clean her up. Because he didn't commission us to do the cleaning. He just commissioned us to go and get them, and he'll do the rest.
That's correct.
But she began, she was peeling that nail polish off and all, and she was getting freer and freer. And so the end of the service, the interpreter says, is there anyone who wants to give their heart to Christ? Guess who it was, y'all? It was Jay, dressed in black, everybody looking at her. Nobody spoke to her, but after that, everybody wanted to talk to her. But we can't be that kind of saint. We got to go out after the whosoever. If they're already in the church, forgive me, y'all, but you good. I want them ones who are out there who's lost and undone. Jay was going to kill herself Sunday. She was going to kill herself Sunday, but God sent her right there to Crossroads Community. And Melissa's not going to judge you. She's just going to love you, even though I was shaking in my boots because I said, what the world? Is that walking up in here? But God said, you go ahead on over there and you tell her I love her because I got something for her. Yeah. And y'all, I text Jay on Monday. I said, you want to meet at Books a Million? Because she says, I don't have a Bible. And I, you know, I'm speaking scripture over her. So I'm like, I know you know scripture because your dad is a pastor. She told me, no, I don't know. Yeah, my dad is a pastor, but I don't know nothing about the book. I read it, but I don't know it because I lived a life of rebellion. I didn't want that life, but now I know that I need it. And, y'all, she accepted Christ. I could see. It was like I could see a washing taking place. She didn't look dirty because she looked dirty when she came in there. And even though Monday when I met her in Books a Million to buy her a Bible because she didn't have one, she still had on that same outfit. And I said, God, maybe she don't have nothing else, but we're gonna get there. So we get there and and I let her take out the Bible that she's going to read. And so every day, y'all, she just sent me a scripture this morning. And every day she's been contacting me saying how much she feels that she has this purpose to live now and how, you know, she know God loves her, you know. And it doesn't take a long time, y'all. We just got to keep praying, and we got to keep thanking, and we got to keep believing God for our loved ones.
Yes.
Because as she walked in, hurt, broken, busted, disgusted, our kids are going to walk in too and be healed and made whole. We can't give up. And in this, we got to still love them, and we got to exemplify Christ. We can't compromise. Yes. That night prayer, I'd be about to run. But I can't wake up everybody in the house. But I'll be wanting to run. It's just so good. We have just got to go in and take back what the enemy thinks he has stolen, because he hadn't stolen it. We can't give up, y'all. And we got to live a life of holiness, a life of purity. We say it's hard, but it's not, because the word of God tells us that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. So if he said that we are to be holy, come on. We can't be like the world. I don't care who don't like me, but I know where God brought me from. I know, and I ain't looking back, and I'm not trying to be a chameleon like the world. You better be like me. I'm not trying to be like you. You be like me because I'm following after Christ. Because my goal is heaven. My goal is to see this generation saved. That's my goal.
Hallelujah.
I don't want to be on the platform in front of a bunch of saved folks. I want to be out there in the world where these people don't know nothing about God. Bring us in, increasing the kingdom. Church growth is not me leaving your church, going to another church. Church growth is those outside coming in. That's church growth. And until the church, the true church, stand up, the church is not growing. So we got to stand up and we got to do what the word of God says. If it says be holy, be holy.
Yes.
Be holy. This is the best life ever, y'all. I'm still young.
Yes.
I'm only 47. And people say, well, how do you, and why do you, and why do you, and it's Jesus. Is what I tell them. How you look like that? And why you do? And how you do? And why you always smiling? Because Jesus. I got a real taste of the living God. And that's
right.
What you got to do. I'm not bragging in me, but I'm bragging in him. Because if you know where I came from, my God, if he could save a wretch like me.
Amen.
My God. There
is
nothing too hard for him.
Yeah. Hallelujah. What a blessing to hear that she wasn't judged on the outer appearance, but you were able to go over and connect with the heart, and you didn't compromise anything. You just told her about the love of God, and she embraced it easily. She was ready. She was ready. Her dad is a pastor, and I'm pretty sure that she was in all kind of stuff. If she was gothic, she was in all types of things that the enemy had her to go into. And I'm pretty sure that her parents tried to tell her, but, you know, we learn even as we raise our children that they have to make their own decisions. And so I was thinking, Sister Melissa, I want to appreciate you for even sharing it with my wife at a time that we needed to hear it the most. And it was such an encouragement to know that what we're going through, that God is still a deliverer, and he's still going to bring his promise to pass in our lives. And you know, especially when you're dealing with deliverance, people don't realize that when you're messing with the enemy's camp, he doesn't like it. He's going to come after you any way he can. And I've learned this through being in ministry, because when I first became pastor, I did not want to go into deliverance. No. We were in it for 17 years. I've seen some stuff.
Wow.
I've heard some people and seen some people get angry. I've seen some people blame you for stuff because you discern them. And I've seen when people lied, I lied, shoot. I lied in deliverance, call myself confessing one thing, but actually it was another. And thank God for a woman of God, a vessel of God that discerned in and began to discern that lie and did not come up off the lie until I finally confessed and said, this is what it is, Pastor. I am so sorry. I repent of my sins. But I found out that by doing that, God broke some major, major yokes. And so our ministry is taking a turn, and we are in a season of ministering in strict deliverance, because I'm finding out this is what people need. They need the love of God, and they need to know they can be free. I've seen and heard so many Christians, so many people of God that are embracing people who are in sin on a compromised level. They're telling them, be who you are. God loves you just like you are. They're saying all those things. God loves us, but he never stopped hating sin. And this is my preaching.
That's right.
This is my preach today. God loves you, and he is a deliverer. You don't have to be like you are. You don't have to stay like you are. That is my conversation, and I stick to it. I stick to that conversation. I was remembering my younger brother. His name was Michael. That was my younger. We were 11 months apart. And I remember my younger brother, and I'm pretty sure, Boss Jr., you heard my testimony about how the enemy used someone to sexually abuse me. Well, I never told you all that my little brother was laying right beside me. He was 4, I was 5. And so we were very close growing up, and we would mention it from time to time as we would be together, and just to make a long story short, as my brother began to grow up, he began to get rebellious, more and more rebellious to my mom, and everybody couldn't understand why my brother Michael was so rebellious. We were in church. My mother was a prayer warrior, and my mother loved us all the same. And my brother Michael had a different father than I did because of the situation my mom was going through with my biological father. They were married at the time. They split up. And my mother wasn't saved. She wasn't saved at the time. So they split up, and she was dating someone else. You know how I go. You know how we do. And so out of that came my brother Michael, and we were the closest. We were close to one another more than anybody else in the family. And Michael grew up with the homosexual tendencies, but we didn't know that was what he was going through. We thought that maybe that's just how he was. And even when my friends and different ones in high school would come and ask me, was he gay, I would get angry and ready to fight somebody and say, if you talk about my brother again, it's going to be me and you. But then as Michael got older and he gave his life to God, he still had that rebellion in him that when my mother would try to correct him, he started lashing out at her and just being so angry at so many times, and then even to the point that he started telling the people in the church how bad and horrible my mother was. I watched my mother with tears running down her face so many days that my brother had betrayed her, and my brother had left the house at an early age, like 17 years old. He was staying from one Christian house to the next Christian house because he was telling folk that my mother was abusing him and all types of things, which all of that was a lie, but because of his rebellion, he did not want to submit under the authority of my mother. He refused to do it, so he left. But I finally realized that my brother was full of rejection. Full of rejection. He did not know his dad, and so he went through life trying to figure out who he was. But this is the thing. I'll never forget when the Lord brought deliverance into my life. We went to separate ministries, and my brother moved out of state. And I never forget us going through a ministry or going through deliverance at a deliverance ministry. And I mean, the Lord broke the yoke off of my life. And my wife knew it. And I mean, I was living in freedom. But then every time I would talk to my brother, Michael, and I would just talk about my testimony and what God has done, he would get so angry, and he would curse me out. He would literally curse me out. And he would curse me out so bad. And I would be like, what is wrong with you, boy? I would be like, why are you cursing me out? Like that he would just curse me out like crazy. I ain't no homosexual. I never said that. I'm talking about my story, man. And then I would say, remember what happened to us when we were kids? He said, yeah, I remember. And then he would say, brother, I'm so sorry, brother. I love you. I'm so sorry. It's like he was out of himself. And he was just, I'm so sorry, brother. But then as the Lord would begin to just cleanse me more and touch me more, every time I would talk to him, I would tell him about it and how the Lord broke the yoke and how he did this for me. He would curse me out again. I mean, he would manifest bad. And then one time, it was in 2001, I'll never forget it, my biological father passed away, and we were going to the hotel from the funeral. My brother Michael happens to leave from Atlanta, and he flew to Memphis to be with me to bury my father. And so I got all of my children in the van and my wife. And I mean, I was talking to him about something, and I mentioned about the spirit of perversion and homosexuality. He clowns, I'm saying clown, everybody know what that means. He cut up so bad in that car. I was ready to, let me tell you something, Boss Jr. My children saw me so mad. They had never seen me this mad before. I was about to get out the van and whoop that boy's behind. Do you hear me? I was ready to give him a good Holy Ghost Black Alley whooping. He had clowned that bad. in front of my children, and I failed to realize that he was manifesting. These were demonic forces because the light was shining, and I began to, and when I talk about it, it was shining light on where he was. But I'm going to tell you something. That boy had clowned, he was clowning so bad, and my wife was like, honey, y'all got to stop. Please stop. And when we got out the van, finally I calmed down. When we got out the van, and before we went into the hotel, he came to me and said, brother, I'm so sorry. I don't know why I got angry like that. I am so sorry. I don't know why I got angry like that. I'm saying all of that to say this. My mother began to pray a prayer. And she said, and because she used to protect them, try to protect them, and said, don't bother them, leave them alone. But my mother began to pray a prayer at the end and began to say, in the latter days, she began to say, Lord, whatever you need to do to save them, you save them, whether through life or whether through death, save my baby. And when she began to pray that prayer, she began to pray when we would talk, as he was living in Atlanta, Georgia, and he was going from different places. In those times when my mother was praying, that my brother Michael would he would go from state to state, and the last state he stayed in was Georgia, and he would come and visit. When he come in town, he would have a different woman every time he came. Every time he came to my house to visit, and as much as I loved him, I would be like, who is this? How many do you got, boy? But he was bringing a woman every time he came, and my wife would be like, if he bring one more woman to this house to visit us, I don't know what we're going to do. But the last woman that he brought, she looked so unclean, and he looked so unclean, but I still loved him. I loved him dearly. And so the last time he came, I began to look at him, and I said, he's looking like he's sick. There's something wrong with him. And although he was saying he was fine, the Lord began to sharpen our discernment in that season, and I began to see more than I saw in the past. And the more he came, the more I saw. And I began to ask him, are you okay? Yeah, brother, I'm fine. I'm fine. And he would, you know, he would talk all the good talk and say he had all types of fine clothes and things like that. But when we would talk about spiritual things, he would get angry all over again. And so I never forget, he got sick. And out of all the saints, out of all the church folk that believed him about what he was saying about my mother and what she was doing to him, when he got sick, nobody reached out to take care of him. My mother had to go and get her baby. She got that boy and brought him to the house, and he didn't realize that he was sick. He had AIDS. Had AIDS, dying of AIDS, at this particular time. And I never forget the transition of my brother, how he was talking to me in this time, and we still not knowing that he was involved in homosexual relationship. We still not, like, literally knowing. We knew that the characteristics were there, and we still didn't know until he got to his deathbed. And it was then that he told my mother, Mama, I'm so sorry that I gave you that much trouble. I'm so sorry that I lied on you. I'm so sorry that I didn't tell you that I got a boyfriend. And he began to look at me and said, Kenneth, am I going to die? I called him Bobo. He called me brother. He always say, brother, am I going to die? I say, Bobo, let me tell you something, man. I don't know. That's between God. That's between you and God. I don't know. I said, but the main thing is that you need to give your life to the Lord. And I'm saying all of that to say this, is that as family members to our loved ones, it is time for us to stand in holiness, in righteousness. And so many times we got so many hands that's leaking into homes, and they really don't understand the fullness of what's happening in families. And God has given you all eyes to really know what's happening and to know the assignment of your families. This is why we share like this, because people need to hear real stories. This is why when the Lord give me things today, that I don't waver about it. I don't worry about what other people are saying and what other people are thinking. I give people what God gives me. That is the raw truth. And until people come to the truth of where they are about, my life is messed up and I need some help. Like Sister JD, now God has saved her and she's reaching out, and now she has hope and she's calling you every single day. Although my brother went to be with Jesus, I'm glad that he finally realized I need to be saved for real. Because so many of the people are playing games with God, Sister Melissa. So many people are saying they're saved and they love God and they're compromising with the world. But God, I will say it. I'm going to say it all the time. I'm not going to stop saying it because God is needing us to stand in holiness. This is one of the reasons why I say we can't depend on our intellect these days. We can't depend on our education these days. The education is good for the world. It's so other people can know, okay, this is what we accomplished. But that don't mean nothing in heaven. That don't mean nothing in the kingdom. Because the wisdom of man is the wisdom of God, it ain't nothing compared to the wisdom of man. We need the wisdom of God. And all those years that I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with my brother, not realizing he was manifesting. He was lying. He was trying to cover when he was bringing all those women in. He was covering up. He was covering that, you know, I'm fighting this. I'm dealing with this. He was covering up. And until he finally said out of his mouth, I'm doing this, I'm in this, and I don't want to die. Although it was too late and the Lord had already made his decision, I'm glad to say that although he was on a deathbed, that he found Jesus. And God is looking for people to deal with the truth, deal with the facts, so that he can break the yoke. The only way we can be helped in this life is face the truth. The word of God says, we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. The word of God also tells us that a liar cannot stand in God's eyes. And while people are lying around us and people are lying about situations and things that they're going through in their life, God is not, he said, you can't tarry in my sight. Until we deal with the truth, because we need to understand. Even when I was dealing with mine, I didn't understand that it was safe to deal with the truth. It was safe. I thought that God was going to judge me like everybody else would judge me. And when I dealt with the truth about it, the Lord began to fix my life, Sister Melissa. And let me tell you something. What people don't understand is that the assignment of the enemy never changed. The assignment over my life, it hasn't changed. The enemy still want to get in. But you know what I do?
That's right.
I fill my life with the word of God every day.
Amen.
I fill my life with
Amen.
Prayer and fasting. I stay around strong people of God, people that want. I got
Amen.
Friends right today that no matter what I do or say, if I'm doing wrong, they're going to check me. If I'm not doing right and the Lord speaks to them, they're going to check me no matter. I've been friends with them for over 30 years, and I'm talking about friends that know my ins and outs and ups and downs, and I won't hear it nowhere else after I tell them about it. They don't compromise with me. They love me, and they love me enough to tell me the truth. And they never once told me, well, it's going to be all right. You be who you are. No, they said the devil is a lie.
Okay.
Uh-uh. No, you need to get yourself together.
Yeah.
The devil is a lie.
Right.
And they didn't fight against when the pastor was telling me something, and they didn't fight against when my mother was telling me something. They said, whatever your mama said, whatever the pastor said, you obey them, because I ain't telling you nothing different.
Yeah.
Those were my friends. And God can break the yoke off of the lives of people in our day. I, as we go into prayer, Sister Melissa, I want you to pray this morning for the new souls, for the people that are looking for hope, for the people that are looking for help. I was at a restaurant on Sunday, and a daughter of a pastor walked up to me and took my hand and said, Pastor Carr, when I was in Illinois, I just got here the other day back to Maryland, but I was in Illinois at a restaurant with my family, and a young lady walked up to me and took my hand. Her mother is the pastor. We're good friends. And she said, I want to tell you that God is going to break the yoke in your family. She said, don't you worry. She said, I've been with a woman for 15 years, and I gave my mother hell. She said, I did all kinds of stuff, and I blamed them for a lot of things, and I didn't realize that I wasn't being honest with me. She said, just the other day, I began to weep and cry like crazy, and I didn't understand why I was crying. And she said, and I heard the Lord speak in my ears, and he said to me, he said, you will never be satisfied. She said, after all those years, after praying, and after my mother talking to me, after all the arguments and after everything that I've gone through and took my family through, I'm now in a position that I'm letting God break the yoke in my life. She said, I know it's going to be a fight, but I'm ready to fight. I'm ready to battle. She said, so don't worry about your family. God is going to move for you. I want to say that to somebody this morning. I don't care what your families are going through, what your family members are going through, whatever you're facing in your lifetime. Yes, we are dealing with perversion in this society. We're dealing with drugs and all types of things are happening in our society. So I may not have touched your area of bondage for your family, but just know that whatever you all are going through, God is a deliverer. He is going to break the yoke in your life. He is going to break the yoke in your life. And Sister Melissa, I want to be sure that you don't have to leave. I know you have to go to work. Do you have time to pray, or should I go ahead?
I can pray.
Okay. Well, go ahead and pray. I'm going to let you pray, and then I'm going to play a song, and then we're going to go. Go ahead.
Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today, oh God. We thank you for your word, oh God. God, we thank you for your promises, our yes and amen. Father God, we just thank you because you are our deliverer, oh God. You are our way maker. Father, you are our hope to the hopeless this morning, oh God. Father God, you are our healer, oh God, to the ones who are sick today, oh God. Father God, you're the mender of our brokenness, oh God. You're the one who puts our broken pieces back together, oh God, and we just praise you for that this morning, God. God, we thank you so much because we know that there is nothing too hard for you, oh God. There is nothing impossible for you, oh God. And Father God, even though it looks like the different sins are taking over, the sins of perversion, lust, oh God, the sins of lying, whatever those things are, it looks like to the natural that is taking over, God, but we know, oh God, that you reign, God, that you're supreme over everything, oh God. And Father, you said that if we would call upon you, that you would answer and you would deliver, oh God. So Father God, we stand together in agreement, oh God, each one of us on this line. God, we come together in agreement, believing you, oh God, and knowing that you're here with us, oh God, and you hear us from heaven, oh God, and we're standing on behalf of our loved ones, oh God, whether it's our children, our grandchildren, oh God, or our siblings, oh God, or our mom or our dad, Father, we stand on their behalf, the ones who are in need of a deliverance, oh God, the ones who are in need of salvation, Father, we stand on their behalf. God, and we just ask, oh God, that you will begin to move upon them, oh God. Father, we ask that you will begin to open the eyes of their heart so that they can receive from you, oh God, and open their ears so that they can hear what you're saying in these last and evil days, oh God, and open their eyes, oh God, so that they can see, oh God, that you're coming as soon, oh God. And Father, we just thank you, Father, that you're beginning to do a suddenly, oh God, a suddenly salvation, oh God, a suddenly turn in lives, oh God, a suddenly, oh God, filling of your spirit, oh God, of the ones of us who may be feeling weak and weary within our spirit, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you're here and you're in the midst of us and you're dancing all around us, oh God. And Father, we thank you, oh God, that even in our times of weakness, you said that, Lord, you are our strength, oh God. And we thank you that we can lean and depend on you, oh God, our burden bearer, oh God. We don't have to carry anything because you gave us free course to just cast it at your feet. And God, I just ask, oh God, that, Lord, you would empower each and every one of us who may be on this broadcast and we're dealing with the different burdens and trying to carry them and bear them. God, help us to just cast them at your feet and just begin to thank you for whatever that thing is that we are carrying, oh God. Thank you that it's broken, oh God, whether it's bondages of sin, Father, or thank you for it. Help us to just thank you for healings, oh God. If the doctor's saying we're sick, oh God, help us to find that word that fits whatever we may be struggling with, your word, oh God. And begin to declare it into our atmosphere and declare it over our lives, oh God, and declare it into the lives of our children who may be struggling, oh God. Father God, I know that it is only just a little test and a little season, oh God, but it seems like it takes a long time for you to work, but we just thank you that you're working even when we don't see it, oh God. You're continuously working in the spiritual realm, oh God. You're fighting for us, oh God, and we just thank you for that. God, we thank you, oh God, that, Lord, that you've given us the armor, oh God, to dress ourselves, oh God, so that the fiery darts of the enemy can't put us down, oh God. Father, you've given us a shield of faith and the helmet of salvation, oh God, and a belt of truth. And Father, you shod in our feet in the preparation of peace. God, thank you for every piece of the armor, oh God, as we get up and go out looking for the whosoever's and the hopeless, oh God, the brokenhearted, oh God. Lord, help us to be suited up and to carry your love to them, oh God, not judging them, oh God, and not pointing fingers at them, oh God, but loving them to you, God, and we just thank you for it today. Father, we thank you that you're going to allow someone to disturb our schedule today who needs to know you, oh God. And God, we thank you that you're filling us with the right words and the love and care to share to them, to let them know, oh God, that you are a God of love. And Lord, that you will know by any means cast them out once they turn to you, oh God. And Father God, we just ask, oh God, that you will help us to walk in that wisdom, oh God, to know that if you saved us, oh God, that you can save them too. And we just say thank you. Now, God, I ask, oh God, that you will continue, oh God, to do what only you can do within the Carr family, oh God, and in the entire ministry that they have. Father, we thank you for this ministry, and we thank you for the lives that have been healed and the lives that have been changed just because of their obedience and their ministry, oh God. Father, we know it looks like the enemy's come in like a flood, but God, your word says that you've raised a standard against the enemy, oh God, and the weapon may form, but it won't prosper. And we just thank you, oh God, that, Lord, you're working all things out for their good, oh God. What the enemy meant for harm, God, you're turning it around, oh God, because you're going to get the glory, and it's for the lives that need to be saved. And we just say thank you this morning, God, for victory, oh God. We thank you this morning for victory, oh God. We thank you, God, for victory. And God, help us to walk this thing out. And now, God, I ask that you seal this prayer, oh God. You seal this day, oh God. You seal it. And when the enemy comes in to lie to us, God, remind us of what your word says. Remind us to just say, thank you. If we can't even say anything else, remind us to just call upon your son, Jesus. And we can't think of anything else. And we thank you because we're empowered to win. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. What a powerful prayer, Sister Melissa. I thank God for you joining me this morning, and I pray the blessings of God upon your life as well. I want you to have a wonderful day. And I tell you, I know you already know we got the victory. Am I right?
Amen.
Amen. So God bless Amen. You and your family, and may you have a wonderful weekend. I want to remind everybody, that we are on the line, on our conference call line, again tonight at 8 p.m. all weekend long. We're going to be straight through 8 o'clock prayer. If you don't have the number, I'm going to tell you that number right now. The number is 605-313-5096-605-313-5096, and the code is 382-492-pound. 382-492-pound. Prayer begins at 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. 8 p.m. Central Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I want you all to know that God is a deliverer, and I want you all to be encouraged. I don't care how strong that battle is. You are more than a conqueror. I want to leave you with this song, His Blood Still Works, and then we're going to get out of here. But I want you all to have a blessed weekend, and I'll hear from you tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. God bless all.
No. I've been redeemed.
I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Say it again, say his blood.
His blood still works, and I'm glad to be.
Yes, I am. Testify, God is not dead, he's still alive. The same blood that was shed way back at Calvary is the same blood that's working now for me. Oh, his blood redeems me from the stain of sin. And his blood cleanses me deep down within. So if you ask me how I made it and how I've overcome, I can tell you it's because of the blood.
Blood still works, oh. And I'm glad to report that it's
for the blood.
How many of you know about the blood today?
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Yes, God. Glory to God. And it's
the blood.
Thank you for joining To Be Restored, a time of devotion and prayer, brought to you by Marlene Carr and the partners of To Be Restored Ministries. Pray with us live every Monday through Friday at 5:30 a.m. Central Time, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. To join us while we're on live, dial 646-668-8056 or tune in and listen to our podcasts at blogtalkradio.com/be restored. Do you need to build, rebuild, or strengthen your prayer life? Right now, you can access over 1,200 recorded prayers on numerous topics like faith, family, God's love, and forgiveness. Go to toberestored.org to access pre-recorded prayers, where you will find encouragement to pray through any of life's circumstances. Like and follow us on Facebook at To Be Restored Ministries, and follow Marlene on Instagram at MarleneCarr1. If you're interested in contacting Marlene for a speaking engagement or desire information about enrolling in intercessory prayer training, visit toberestored.org or call Total Restoration Church, 815-573-5517. That's 815-573-5517. To Be Restored Ministries is committed to saturating the earth with prayer.